Hello and welcome to another On the Hoof podcast for Vets in Practice. I'm Alison Braddock, Marketing and Business Development Manager for SRUC Veterinary Services. And in this podcast, we'll be looking at the role of health schemes, health planning, and tools available to the farm vet. So we'll be looking also at funding in the animal health and welfare pathways for the beef herd. So I'm delighted to be joined today by Will Ullman, who is a director of an independent vet practice in Herefordshire, Belmont Farm and Equine Vets. He is part of the XL Vets leadership team, which is a network of independently owned vet practices. He was brought up on a farm, so has been involved with cattle from a young age. And Will's focus in practice is mainly beef and sheep, with interests around improving interactions and results from health reviews. Welcome, Will.
No, thank you very much for having me.
Well, thank you for joining us. And I also would like to say that you're a valued member of our Premium Cattle Health Scheme Advisory Board. What type of beef clients are you working with at your practice, Will?
So we've got, in the lovely part of Herefordshire we're at, we have every type of soil and land type. So we go from the large commercial units and some pedigree units up to 300 in size, all the way down to still the nice 10, 20 sucklers on the hillside.
So, Will, that's really useful. You've got a good range of clients there. How do you approach endemic disease with your clients?
It depends why they have come to us in the first place. I think that's one of the things as vets, we have a lot of knowledge and we love to give it to people. And I do think we sometimes overload or bombard people with too much information. So if somebody is coming to us with a concern, maybe they've had diseased animals, or at the moment they've heard of something on the in the newspapers or leaflets, especially with the BVD coming up and Yona's becoming more of a heightened awareness. Sometimes they're just coming for information. Sometimes they want to come to find a solution. Sometimes they just want to know what's going on. And I think it's targeting to what they want seems to get a better response out of getting some action in the end.
That's a really good point, isn't it? Targeting what the farmer wants and not giving them an overload of too much information. So what processes and tools do you use to help your farmer clients?
So first thing we always want to do is get on farm and go and meet them and go and understand what their aim is, what their setup is, how they work. And realistically, the best way to get them on is doing a health review, getting on farm and seeing what they have. We use data collection as much as we can. However, very aware that the only good data is correct data. I'd rather have no data than incorrect data. And there are a lot of farmers who don't collect it or don't understand why to collect it. But before we have a health review, we like to send out a currently using a Google document to collect some information that might aid us in when we have this conversation. Also on that, we actually ask them, what do they want to discuss? Because that to me is the most important part. And if they are wanting to discuss these endemic diseases, brilliant. It gives us a chance to sit down and go through it. When we do talk about these, you know, as we're well aware, talking about BVD, trying to explain BVD in 5 minutes is nigh on impossible. So we have to go back and use some newsletters or documents we produced, or ones that actually they're found online. There's some very good ones, because giving them a visual representation of what it is and give them a chance to digest what you said is very important. These aren't easy diseases to sort out. These actually take a lot of time and effort to plan and are very farm specific on how to get on top of it. So the best tool, to be honest, is time and understanding to listen to them, hear what their issues are, hear how they can help achieve what they want to achieve. And whilst we have an overview of what the main goal is, eradicating disease.
That's a really good point, Will, in terms of the time and the understanding and the listening. And we can actually put some documents or links to some of the documents that we use in the notes in this podcast. So for vets in practice listening to this, that might be useful.
Good.
So that's great. So how do you actually integrate? So obviously I'm involved with the Premium Cattle Health Scheme. How do you integrate PCHS and the health and welfare pathway, for example? Because that's quite a useful tool to use when you're looking at that.
So as part of the Premium Cattle Health Scheme, they require to have a health plan. I prefer the word review because no one likes a plan, but it's a great time to see what happened in the last year, how things are going. Also really need to check on biosecurity, especially when dealing with the likes of yonis and BVD and all these diseases we check. So it is a requirement to have it, which then gives the option of, well, we're already needing it. It's a great chance to then sit down and go through it and plan. Probably best to do it as a standalone. Sometimes we do it at the same time we're doing other visits, but I feel then the aim of that visit changes. So doing it at the same time to castrate.
Good point.
I've done it multiple times, but it then suddenly it becomes a subsidiary to what you're wanting to do. I always do it on farm, and I always start with a farm walk, because that is when you get the best information out of a farmer. One, it's nice to look at animals. That's what, you know, I've been bred up to look at, but it's important to get a farmer comfortable to talk about how he's getting on. And if you sit down and open up paperwork in front of them, same as me, I'll shut down and I'll only tell you what you want to hear. You're not going there to look for disease. You're not looking for your lame animal. You're not looking for that, but it gives you an understanding of what the shed system's like. How's their calving pens? What do the animals look like? Are they looking well? And nothing goes further than a compliment. You find something and you let them know their cattle are looking well or they're growing nicely, or it just puts a farmer at ease, and you're there on their side. You're not there to judge them. You're not there to criticize them. You're there to advise them and help improve them. And they've invited you on. So it's a great opportunity to get them on your side.
That's a really good point, Will. It's about building trust. I think you're able to talk more freely sometimes when you're actually out and about in action.
Yeah, puts you at ease, and it just takes away that interview style questioning.
So you've been, obviously you've got a lot of experience going out onto farms and talking to people about the health of their animals and bearing in mind the person you're talking to as well. And obviously farmers are all different, aren't they? And they've all got different things that make them tick. So in terms of the cattle health scheme, I mean, we run, obviously, the Premium Cattle Health Scheme. The majority of them are pedigree producers, but often the checks, technical document, can be used for commercial as well as the pedigree side of things. And particularly with the health and welfare pathway and the way where we're being encouraged to test our animals, do you use the Premium Cattle Health Scheme when you're out and about talking to farmers?
Yeah, so it's, to me, the where that comes as a really positive, it's a nice way of checking that everything has been done correctly. So we do have some pedigree. We are in Herefordshire, so we've got plenty of Herefords, but we've got multiple other breeds as well. But we do have the large commercial, and they are just have to be just as strict on biosecurity to keep these animals healthy as the pedigree. And it isn't just seen as a selling option. You know, it's seen as a way of looking at yourself going, no, I am doing everything correct and I am covering as many bases as I can. I'd love to say there's a perfect farm that has perfect biosecurity, but we all know that's a complete lie. And it is all to do with risk management and risk mitigation. And that's where using the Premium Cattle Health Scheme on the understanding on commercial still has a huge role to play. Because there has been an increase in commercial farms on the Premium Cattle Health Scheme. And it's the question of, there are a lot more people selling commercial cattle. They're worth a lot more. These commercial heifers and even bulls are becoming more fashionable. the suckler pool is decreasing across the country, people aren't necessarily going straight to the pedigrees to look for their replacements. They're looking for hybrid vigor and making an animal that meets their farm needs. And like I said, every pedigree has its known strength and understanding, and that's their what they're promoting. But there are multiple areas where commercial farmers or non-pedigree purebred cattle are still a very valuable commodity to be sold as breeding stock.
That's a really good point, and giving them the tools to be able to monitor herd health and biosecurity. And is biosecurity, do you use the word biosecurity? Because sometimes it can be a bit of a turn off for farmers. As soon as they hear the word biosecurity, they're thinking, oh, you know, it's a bit like you using the review instead of plan.
Yeah.
Do you tend to, when you're talking to people, how do you broach that?
I think it's the idea of, if you spend a lot of time and effort trying to eliminate something and then you bring it straight back in the next time, you're going to kick yourself. And it is all to do with that, just understanding the risk. If you know you're buying off a market of unknown animals, you don't know what you're buying in. Obviously, BVD in Scotland, they've had compulsory testing. Wales have just got the ball rolling, and the compulsory testing has been going for a year. England are likely to get going in the next 1 to 2 years. BVD will then become less of a worry. But we're seeing more cases of Yonis about, and more people are aware of it. Neospora is also, a lot more people are aware. And even things like leptospirosis, a couple of years ago, I wasn't worried about it, but we are seeing more cases of leptospirosis than we've seen for a while. So there is just this more awareness of what diseases animals can bring. These are more expensive. And animals at the moment, they're breeding animals are £2,000 to £3,000. Breeding, you know, good stock can be well over that. So these animals are worth that understanding what's going on. And if you've got a cull cow die of Yonis,
yeah,
that could have been an £1,800, £2,000 animal, which goes a long way to replacement heifer.
That's a really good point, Will, in terms of the cost implications. And also that the overall disease awareness with, you know, now we've got the health and welfare pathways, we've had BVD free, we've had the Yonis in the dairy industry, a real push there as well. So, and the BVD eradication in Scotland. So there is a real awareness of disease and the implication of disease.
And I'm aware there are multiple different opinions on how these are done, but I think as vets, we need to understand the end goal, which is eliminating a disease. And that's what we want to achieve. You know, I'm sure as vets, we've all seen BVD cases on farms, and it's been absolutely decimating to them, to the farms involved. So we don't want to see that. Same as Yonis. You only need to ask a farmer, have you ever seen a cow die Yonis? And they go, yeah, and I don't want to see it again.
Yeah. Yeah. No, absolutely. And the health and welfare, as well as the cost implications. Mm. So Will, with your vast experience of dealing with beef clients, what tips do you have for farm vets wanting to make a real difference to farms with the beef enterprises?
I think beef often, as vets, and we see it with students coming through, gets thought as the younger sibling of dairy. Dairy is priority, and there's nothing worse than, like I say, being a beef vet, there's nothing worse than when a vet student starts answering like a dairy. And it's just a great way of turning someone off your advice. So if you are dealing with a beef, get an understanding of what they are wanting to make. What's their aims and goals? So never feel upset about asking. You know, we all have to learn, and asking, what price does something make, or what are you selling for? How do they go? How do they sell? Are you fattening them quickly? Are you doing, get to understand them. And the more you ask questions, the more you sound interested in it. And that's what farmers want to be. They want to be heard. The other thing, which I think is really important, is you are only an advisor. You're not telling them what to do. You can advise strongly, but if you try and tell someone how to do something, they will likely go against. What you will need to do is advise on what the aim is, and then say, well, how is it best done? when's the best time to do the bloods on your farm? When's the best time to buy in cattle? Where's the best place to isolate them? Instead of saying need to isolate for 3 weeks, ask where's a good place to isolate them. Get them thinking about, oh, well, actually, you know, round the corner might be, and at least it gives them a kind of an achievable goal instead of, well, I can't keep it away for 3 weeks, you know, and it's 3 weeks is a minimum. It should be longer, but the amount of farmers I've heard been happy they've kept them out for 2 days. But then don't be upset if they then only keep it out for a week. It's still longer than what it was before. Any improvement is an improvement. Yeah. So you don't need to go from 0 to 100. You can just do a small improvement, a small looking at, you know, to the farmer. He might not ask about every disease under the sun to a farm, but if he just goes and goes, oh, are you BVD checked? Brilliant. That's one thing that he didn't do last time.
Yeah. So it's the small wins, isn't it, Will?
It's small wins. They say pick the low-hanging fruit. Sometimes it can be hard to find them, but a small win is better than no win at all.
Yes, I love the way that you empower your clients through interest in their herd and actually advising them rather than telling them. I think that's really powerful stuff. Yeah, how have you driven this? How have you been successful in ensuring that your farmers are actually doing their reviews, they're getting engaged with the Premium Cattle Health Scheme? How have you as a practice achieved that? Because you're getting out there, you're engaging with these farmers.
So probably about 6 years ago, we ended up having a talk about health reviews from one of the Rexel practices. And what we came to the decision, and it had to come from the top and the bottom, was we will not sign piece of paper anymore. If you need a health review, we are coming out and doing a proper health review. And it had to be everyone in the practice. And the first couple of years, we had farmers grumble. Oh, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. Ooh, just sign it. And it had to be a standard going, no, we are coming out. We have to come out on farm and have a walk around. And then you realize that people actually got benefit from it. And farmers were interactive, and we charge a set rate. We don't charge per 10 minutes per hour, because we decided that if you said we're charging you per 10 minutes, people want you on and off the farm as soon as possible.
That's a good point. Yeah.
So we said, we're here as long as you want. You can use or abuse us as much as you want. So you might as well get something out of it. And that's how it started. And it took a couple of years, but then people started to understand that's what it was. Obviously, a lot of it was led by Red Tractor, but we have people that are having health reviews every 12 months in or not in Red Tractor. I would never send a new grad to a health review. I always think it needs to be somebody who's been there, done that a bit, so their understanding of there are many ways to achieve the same end goal. We will then train people to come with them, so they'll come with me, the vets, see how I do it, go with other vets, see how they do it, and kind of get it, so we all kind of do not the exact same way, but we understand that it's done seriously. And it's a great way of a farmer to have a chance to ask those questions. Some of the hardest health reviews we've done are from the farmers who chat to us all the time, because if they had a problem, you'd get a text or a WhatsApp or a phone call, and you know about it, which then that becomes a nice overall review of, okay, well, how are we doing, what we're planning. Some of my favorite ones are the ones who are grumpy, you know, because I can grumble about them as well and just go, well, let's just go and look at animals. That's what I want to look at. I don't like paperwork. You don't like paperwork. Let's go look at the animals. That's what we're here for. And that's where you get that conversation going about it. And then you come up with a couple of ideas and you realize you've actually found three things that will benefit the farmer without even opening up his probably incorrectly filled data capture. We look at antibiotics. I think antibiotics are a huge thing to look at, just to have an understanding, but I never tell anyone off about how much antibiotics they used. We understand, we want to look at why they've had to use them. And then you look at, well, how can we reduce trying to use them? Because that's how I see antibiotics. Every time a farmer uses them, they've already lost. Now, a farmer's always going to lose. There's always going to be a sick animal. There's always going to be an animal foul. And I want you to use antibiotics when required. However, if we can prevent them needing the antibiotics, one, we're using less antibiotics, which is brilliant for resistance. But two, the animals are healthier, better welfare, and probably will be more productive and more profitable. So we always, it's always that looking back and looking beyond just what's written on the piece of paper and getting to a point where you can go on farm and you get to know them, and it then becomes a joyful thing to go on a health review. I do a lot of health reviews. I really enjoy them. I still don't like writing up about them, but I enjoy that chat about how farm is going and how they're getting on. And the other thing is to applaud when they've done well. Very few people tell farmers they've done a good job. If you've got somebody who's got 95% calf weaning rate, well done. What did you do different this year? Or they've managed to shrink it down to a 9-week calving block.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Well done. You know, it's little things like that, and they do remember it.
Yeah. And they're such big things, though, aren't they, for farmers? Often working on their own or in small teams, not having the engagement, not having the feedback. It's powerful stuff, actually, what you're doing.
And that's what it's in joy of COVID showed us how lonely people can get, and actually just having there and a cup of coffee with them is a huge positive to them.
Yeah.
And if they can get something out of it as well, even better.
Yeah.
The other thing I did say about three, sometimes you'll go on some farms and you won't find three things to change, improve. Not because that farm is perfect, just because they're happy with where they are at.
Yes.
That's fine.
Yeah. It's all about the client at the end of the day, isn't it?
And yeah.
It's not just about the animals. It's about managing the clients. So as a vet in practice, obviously with livestock clients, how are you getting on with the health and welfare pathway?
We've had generally quite a good uptake of it. We have been promoting it because, it, like I say, it's there to be used. I'd say the hardest part of it is actually finding the website where you had to sign up. And I have helped a fair few farmers to do it. So as a vet, it's worth knowing how to do it yourself, because then it was a lot easier to pass it on. We've had people ranging down from, you know, small herds with only 10 cows all the way up to the big ones utilize it. We have everyone on the Premier Cattle Health Scheme is utilizing it. And it's £647 available to have these discussions. Obviously includes the BVD blood samples, which if you are on the Premier Cattle Health Scheme, then that's already integrated, and you can use the bloods that you have done part of your checks accreditation. But we're taking bloods on multiple farms. We found a couple of farms that do still have BVD, so it's helping that eradication that we're trying to get. And it's just that great time, and people are using it just to have that conversation. And especially if a farm comes to me and wants to discuss about Yonis, I say, brilliant, well, what we'll do, let's get you into the funding. Let's utilize this so we can really work a plan on your farm, get the blood sorted. I'm aware that it won't pay for the Yonis bloods, but it is money they didn't have before. Yeah.
It's a start.
But it's that time to sit and work out how to do it on your farm. And we do have multiple that do talk about the checks accreditation, the, you know, why, what they're doing it and what they are. And it's that time to really give it, give time to the farmer, especially if they're asking for it. So no, we've had a good uptake with it, and we will continue to push it. It stops in 27. There's consultations on at the moment about making it mandatory in England. So if you haven't done that, go onto the DEFRA website to look at the questions and the answers, you know, the questions that they're looking about making it mandatory. But no, I would say if you haven't engaged with it much, really have a push on it. You probably can get it one more time at this point in time, but it's a great chance to get onto farms and build up that discussion, especially after calving, after the, you know, a disastrous calving. We say, well, let's come and have a chat, and let's get paid for me to come out and have that chat.
Yeah, that's a really important point, Will. And actually, farmers don't get paid something for free very often. So with the funding pot there, it's worth using, isn't it, before it's not available anymore. And we can put the link on our notes, on the notes again, the right link, so that's easy. Link. And actually, there's blogs and all sorts, isn't there?
For government funding, it's separate to the SFI. It is actually one of the, dare I say, easiest way to claim. It takes about 5 minutes to sign up. Two difficulties: one, finding the website; two, getting your client's customer reference number, because that's a number they hardly ever use. So that's probably the one I would get them to find the most. And then to apply takes less than 5 minutes, and to claim takes less than 5 minutes. And farmers are actually, most times when I speak to them, they'll get payment within about 2 weeks. One in five get further questions, but the further questions are what you've already produced for them.
That's very good. Thanks, Will. And the other thing, obviously, SRUC Veterinary Services is gold sponsor for Beef Expo this year at Melton Mowbray on the 30th of May. And so do come along and see us and the Bovine Health Hub. Hopefully, Will will be sitting on one of our panels. So we'll be sending out promotional information shortly. Oh, that's been really useful, Will, having that insight into how you are basically working with your farmers to improve the health of their beef herds.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you.
See you later.